right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, I'm still talking about Republicans and conservatives. This is your time. And you know, those on the right who I know are listening, who call in constantly to tell me about the thugs that and the criminals that are, you know, in the Democratic Party, and they don't care about crime and all of those things. I wonder what they think when there are articles like this. Lawmakers on the January 6th committee ramp up their security as threats increase. So let's see if I got this right. Republicans who are on this January 6th committee, Vice Chairwoman Liz Cheney, a Republican from Wyoming, Chairman Bernie Thompson, Democrat, Mississippi, and many other members of the House that are trying to get at the truth of what happened in Washington, D.C. on January 6th, have had their lives threatened. In the past 24 hours, there had been an uptick in the number of violent threats against lawmakers on the House Select Committee investigating the January 20th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. So I've been listening to whining, sniveling conservative Republicans constantly talking about the threats on Brett Kavanaugh's life by one guy who said he was going to kill Brett Kavanaugh. And they're still talking about that. Well, the Democrats didn't say anything about that, and the Democrats support threats on United States Supreme Court justices' lives, and we've got to change the laws, and we've got to do all these different things, never stopping to hear, you know, this. They're talking constantly about that and blaming Democrats for making threats on the lives of Brett Kavanaugh. But here, on the other hand, many Republicans and conservatives, and I'm sure they're in that Proud Boy and other vein, have made threats on the lives of those Congress people who are doing what? Doing the will of the people. These people don't want the truth to come out and listen to some of the heinous things that these threats that these people have made. And yet these, how dare they open their mouths about criminals anywhere, when all they have to do is look inside of their own group, and they'll find real criminals with weapons, a cache of weapons enough to challenge anyone other than the United States Army. The committee on Tuesday held its fourth hearing, which focused on efforts by former President Donald Trump and his allies to overturn the results of the 2020 election. But listen to this. Over the weekend, Representative Adam Kinzinger, a Republican, revealed a letter addressed to his wife that threatened to execute them and their five-month-old baby. He warned that the political violence of January 6th was not an aberration, but a consequence of his party's repeated lies. Hey, Alan Kinzinger is a Republican. There's violence in the future, I'm going to tell you, Kinzinger said on ABC's This Week's program. And until we get a grip on telling people the truth, we can't expect any difference. Let's go to the phone line. Sam, who do we have on the line?
Jean from Eau Claire.
Hey, Jean, how you doing?
Good morning. You guys are a godsend to our state and to the area you live. I mean, what a gift for people to be able to get the truth and to have people who really care about our country and our state.
So, Jean, hold on a second. Listen to this. Here's the letter from Congressman Kinzinger, a Republican. Addressed to my wife, sent to my home, threatening the life of my family. The darkness is spreading controversy of cowardly leaders, fearful of truth. Is that what you want? And here's what the guy said. You are one stupid bleep. That pimp you married not only broke his oath, he sold his soul, yours and Christian's too. Well, this is, you know, it's one of those guys who's heavily armed because he can't read or write based on what he wrote here. Adam's activities have hurt not only this country, but countless patriotic and God-fearing families. Therefore, although it might take time, he will be executed. But don't worry, you and Christian will be joining Adam in hell too. We find it blasphemy that you name your son Christian. These are the people who are on the right. These are the people who call themselves patriots. And how dare they talk about, the people with Black Lives Matter and all these other people. These people are dangerous, and my fear is, so when they mail these letters, the FBI, the CIA, they should be able to track, it's easy to track these lunatics because they already know what groups they're in. I'm sorry, go ahead, Gene.
Oh, you're right on there. I mean, these people need to be locked up now. I mean, they are definitely...
Yeah, before they do something crazy.
Oh, yeah, well, hey, we don't go around threatening people. Give me a break with violence and murder. I mean, come on. You know, the old Republicans are gone as far as I'm concerned. And they had some good Republicans back in the days. But this new group is a danger to the old Republicans. I mean, they'll turn their back on anybody who does not bow down and kiss the hand of, right now, their leader. But there's other leaders in that group. They're all standing in line to get anointed. This is sick. And I want to know who's paying for all this, because I got a feeling, you know, with chaos and fear and hate ripping apart our country, who's going to benefit from this? We're killing ourselves from the inside out. Nobody has to come over and have weapons against our country. They're weaponizing people inside of our country to go against their fellow Americans. And it is sick, and it is dangerous, and the people need to wake up, because it's on them. The people that are believing this malarkey is just nuts. So anyway, sorry, I didn't need to go on and on.
No. Listen. The political violence that is being threatened inside of this country. I was reading something the other day where Republicans were saying that if Roe versus Wade is going to be overturned, there's threats from people on the left that there's going to be violence. And I don't see that. I don't. There's no way that people on the left are going to create violence if Roe versus Wade is overturned. They're not like these people on the right. You know, the remaining hearings are likely to focus even more on the culture of political violence on the right. And even though we're talking about this, there are people on the right listening, but they won't respond to this. They won't respond to this because they want to hide from this. Fox News isn't talking about this. Fox News is still talking about violence from Black Lives Matter. And so they'll run and listen to that. But they won't listen to this because they don't want to believe that there are some rotten, hateful people in their groups that are as dangerous as anything outside of our borders.
Yes.
And more dangerous. So. Yeah, and more dangerous because they're heavily armed. And they're inside of this nation.
They don't want to take away those military-style weapons either, do they? I mean, that was just sick that, you know, that wasn't even brought in. Give me a break. You know, one gun, one load of bullets can take out a whole group of people, and it makes me sick that we even have those in our society. It's ludicrous. It really is. It's like in a bad dream.
Hey, Gene, thank you very much for the call. Thank you, as always. Thank you for listening. Well, you know, it just goes to show that, you know, if you don't have the courage to separate yourself from the crowd, right? You know, and the crowd thinks for you. We've seen that before, where all of these people are led by one voice and how dangerous that is on either side of the equation. Well, you know, it's out there for everybody to see on the right. And yet they can't seem to separate themselves. It is a dangerous, dangerous time in this nation. And it harkens back to a time in this nation that many from my generation remember. The assassinations that took place in those 60s. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, I want to talk a little bit now about NATO. Because, you know, it is absolutely necessary that we have a conversation about NATO. You know, back in 1982, there was a gathering of called the Atlantic Alliance. And what it did was had a conversation about whether there should be conversations about, you know, global peace, not about war. Why can't we get back to a time where we spend our energy and time and resources on focusing on peace? And why we don't do that anymore? There used to be global peace movements in my lifetime in this country. And that was because it was just so soon, you know, after World War II. You know, I wasn't born that much after World War II. I mean, relatively. I was born in 1954. You know, World War II ended in about 1943, 40, somewhere around there, 41. So it wasn't that long after that the thoughts of the horrific situation that took the lives of millions upon millions upon millions of people in a war that caused treasury as to basically crumble, as well as the lives of people, and cooler heads prevailed and people spoke of peace. But that seems so long ago, you know, and now it's all about war. I wonder if people really understand the whole purpose of NATO and the reason that NATO has come to be. You know, when Russia, then when the USSR broke up, and all those smaller countries became independent, and Russia was no longer there, they broke up, and the USSR became Russia, and all of those different client states, if you will, became independent somewhat and started enjoying that. Many of those client states used to be a part of the USSR. And so they wanted their freedoms. They got to a point where they were no longer under the control of the USSR. And so they became independent, and they certainly weren't big enough and powerful enough to ever be a threat to what was once their parent, you know, Russia, that they came from, that birthed them. USSR birthed those nations, many of them, and they used to be a part of the landmass of the USSR. And yet, you know, the United States helped create NATO and continues to support NATO to this day and wants an expansion. We're talking about now Ukraine. You know, we just had an expansion. And so Russia clearly is stating, hey, man, this was our territory. This was once our territory. We had control over this area and over this land. And now here you are, you know, the United States government looking to expand yourself into territory that was once ours. Now, you may say that that's not a big deal. You may say that, you know, Sandy's will be back. He's in Israel vacationing. But you always hear him talking about hegemony. Constantly talking about hegemony. And sometimes, you know, we say, well, what is hegemony? It's the fact that our nation is expanding itself and its interests beyond its own borders and its influence in different parts and segments of the world. And then you hear our nation constantly talking about our interests. Well, your interests. Well, so, you know, Sweden, Finland, you know, who are getting ready to join NATO, that then would be America's interests, even though that they are much closer to Russia than they would ever be to us. And yet we don't see any problems with that. The American people. Listen to this. The last summit that was held, you know, talking about, you know, peace at the end of June, for the second time since the Spanish state joined NATO in 1982. For the second time since 1982, the Atlantic Alliance will hold a summit meeting in Madrid. It so happens that each of these two Madrid summits constitutes a major defining moment in the history of the organization, meaning NATO. The previous summit held in 1997 was the culmination of a long debate among NATO members, governments about the alliance's eastward enlargement. The debate became public and heated in the United States, involving almost all the country's foreign policy establishment. It pitted those who warned against ostracizing Russia, which in their view was how any expansion of NATO to countries that were previously subordinate to Moscow would inevitably be perceived by the Russians, against those who were eager to seize the opportunity offered by what Washington Post columnist Charles Krauthammer called in 1990 the unipopular movement, in order to extend U.S. hegemony to areas that were formerly part of the Soviet sphere. Listen, we got to go to a break. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. We're getting ready to get into this. You can join me. We'll be right back. Ain't nobody got time to wait. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us that same number. You know, I'm talking about NATO, how it was created, why it was created. And you really, as an American, need to hear this. You need to know about it. And as we talk about expanding the footprint of this nation in Ukraine and continuing to put the resources of this nation and expect the citizens of this nation to suffer. And, you know, during the what's coming, the inflation issues, the fact that we're going to be headed into a global recession. And during that time, this nation is going to be asking you and I to sacrifice in order to help the people in Ukraine. You got to ask the question, because Ukraine is asking for more and more and more at a time when the American people are going to be hurting. Excuse me, more and more and more. Listen to this. Supporters of NATO eastward expansion wanted the United States empire to encompass a large chunk of the former Soviet empire in the belief that sooner or later, post-communist Russia would seek to revive its long imperial tradition. It was therefore necessary to preempt this inevitable development by securing U.S. control of as much of the former Soviet empire as possible. Since Putin's regime has indeed engaged in predatory behavior since 2008 in what has traditionally been regarded by Russia as its imperial near abroad intervention in Georgia in 2008 and an annexation of Crimea and intervention in Donbass in 2014, attempted invasion for regime change in Ukraine in 2022, and ongoing efforts to occupy the whole of Donbass and adjacent areas, one would be tempted to believe that those who advocated NATO's enlargement have been proven right. So at the root of what is happening is the fact that NATO, supported by the United Nations, don't ever think that what is happening in NATO is at the root of it is all of these nations, and that all of these nations are pushing to make sure that Russia doesn't reconstitute itself as the Soviet Union again. And what you can clearly see now is that Vladimir Putin has been on the march to take back some of the landmass and the countries that they lost when the USSR lost power. All during those times, most of us average citizens haven't been focused on that. We haven't been paying any attention to what's been going on there. But clearly, those in power, those in the military, those foreign policy wonks for our government has been doing everything within their power to stop the advancement of the Soviet Union. Russia, into reclaiming some of those land masses that they once had. Now, I live in America. You know, we live in America. Why is that our issue? That whether or not Russia can reconstitute some of the nations that were once theirs. I'm not saying that Russia is right in doing what they're doing, but why is that our issue? Why should the United States government be engaged and involved in that economically, militarily? And if you know the backstory of that, and now many of you do, there's no way we're going to get out of this. We've been involved and engaged in it behind the scenes now ever since 2002. This has been going on. And now it's come to the light. And now you're hearing more and more about, well, Russia's moving and they're starting to take control over this and they're taking control over that. And we've got to do more. What are they talking about? We shouldn't have been there in the first place. Once again, our nation is engaged and involved in something and has helped create this environment. I know that's hard for you to swallow. Go to the article in Newsweek this morning. That's by Gilbert Ecker, NATO from Bad to Worse. Listen, we've got to start focusing on these types of stories, these types of things, because we are headed towards a serious, serious war that we may not be able to get out of. I mean, the more you look at this, the more you realize what's been taking place and why. You start asking the questions. Our involvement there. Well, you know, we're there for humanitarian reasons, and you know, we've got to always do the right thing. Well, there are many other places, if it's humanitarian at the root of it, that we should be in, and we're not. I am really frightened, to be quite honest with you. Well, where this thing is headed. And again, at a time where, you know, you really got to ask whether or not this is in the best interest of our country. The 1997 summit officially invited Hungary, Poland, and the Czech Republic to join the alliance. The three Eastern European countries' ascension was completed 2 years later at the Washington summit that celebrated NATO's 50th anniversary. It happened at the time when the alliance was bombing Yugoslavia in the contravention of international law in the first post-1990 U.S.-led war not authorized by the United Nations Security Council. Along with the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq in 2003 that circumvented yet again the UNSC and NATO's subsequent enlargement in 2004 to even more East European countries, including the three Baltic states, which were formerly part of the USSR, this sequence of events was decisive in creating the animosity between Russia and the West that was a prelude to the invasion of Ukraine. You want to know why? Shouldn't we want to know why? Before those of you who say we need to be spending, you know, billions and trillions of dollars there, shouldn't you want to ask the question why? Shouldn't you want to ask the question why at a time that this recession that is a runaway train that's coming to this nation because it's already in other parts of the world? I know what happens during recessions. I know the outcome of those because I've, you know, suffered. Because I worked in industry when I was a young man, and I would see things going really well. We'd be doing really well, the company and the nation, and all of a sudden, the wheels would be pulled off and under the economy. And I would want be asking questions why. Let's bring CJ on. What's going on, CJ?
Hey, Earl. Thanks for taking my call. I have to remind you, 2016, Obama drew a red line with Syria, watched them use chemical weapons, and did nothing about it. And that's when Putin moved into Crimea.
Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Maybe you didn't hear, along with the U.S. invasion of Iraq in 2003, circumvention yet again, the UNSC, and NATO's subsequent enlargement in 2004. These things had nothing to do with Barack Obama. He was not even around during those times. He was not even around during those times. You know, the bottom line is, CJ, what I'm saying to you and others is, do a little research, do a little reading on why NATO was formed, and why NATO is where it is, and why it's expanded, and why the United States continues to support the expansion of NATO in the backyard of Russia.
And thank you, Donald Trump, for getting countries in NATO to pay their fair share, 2% of their growth.
This has nothing to do with that. I'm asking you to understand. I'm trying to get you to understand why there's a NATO in the first place. Do you know that?
Well, I'm trying to get you to understand why we're in Ukraine because of our president's failure Afghanistan.
Hey, CJ.
It's fact, Earl.
CJ.
And, you know,
you just missed everything. Why don't you, you know, do a little reading?
Did Putin research. Move in Ukraine when Trump was president?
Putin moved in Ukraine. So he moved in Crimea first.
That's
he's been
yes
moving.
No answer.
He's been. How are you going to give me a yes or no answer on my show, man? You know what I mean?
How arrogant
a person must you be to talk to a host of a radio show who has control over whether you're cut off or not, that you're going to give me a yes or no answer? Man.
Well, factually, no.
No.
Putin did not move while Trump was president.
Let me say this to you, man.
Afghanistan fall apart.
This is bigger.
This is bigger.
This conversation is bigger than what your mind can handle. So,
it is.
It really is, because you can't even see the depth of what's happened here and what's happening. You're still stuck in some foolishness about, Joe Biden pulled some people out of out of Afghanistan. It has nothing to do with this conversation. Thank you very much for the call. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be back. Good God, now. What is it good for? All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Listen, I'm saying all of those things. because we're facing some hard times, the American people, financially, economically, in the coming months and years. There's no question that we are going to be headed into difficult, difficult economic times in this country going into the 2022 midterm elections and possibly even into the 2024. We're going to be facing some tough, tough times. Recession is on the horizon, and painful, painful times are going to be coming. And when this is being brought upon us by the Federal Reserve, who has a responsibility to make sure that that our economy does not fail. The Fed understands the conditions that are happening. They're not new. They have a toolbox full of tools. Inflation is not new. It's not the first time it's ever happened in our society. It comes and goes. It's just been 40 years since it's been so bad. There'll be another time that inflation is going to rear its ugly head, as it has historically throughout this nation. But the pain that it brings is what people in many instances don't even realize. So the nation itself is going to survive this downturn, but many people are going to suffer a lot of pain, as they always do during these recessions. But here's why I'm talking about Ukraine at the same time we're dealing with this recession that's coming. Because when a recession comes, and for the most part, business comes to a halt, people get laid off, the economy contracts. And so, you know, things slow down to a crawl. Money doesn't move as much. It costs a lot more money to borrow money. It costs a lot more. The interest rates soar. And then I'm a person right now who's caught in a dilemma in my own life. I know that I need to go buy another car, right? You know, my wife's car was in an automobile accident. We got to buy a new car. But I also know that the interest rates are going through the roof. I know that in order to buy this new car, they're going to charge me almost 35% more than what that car would have cost me 6 months ago. And for the full life, because I'm not a person in a position to pay cash for a car. I'm going to have to finance it. You finance a new car right now, you're going to finance it at about 5 or 6%. Maybe even 7 shortly, because they're increasing the interest rates again, the prime rate again, the Federal Reserve, in order to control inflation. There is a way to stop inflation, and that's to cool down the economy, to slow it down. And they do that by raising rates on money. And that doesn't bother somebody who can go outright and buy what they want. But for the masses of the American people, it does. And so you're caught in a dilemma that you don't want to go buy a used car, because the used cars, the prices are overinflated on them. So there are people like me in the society, fortunate enough that I can go buy a car, But there are others who can't. But I can't go buy a car where the interest rates have soared the way that they are. It would not make sense. Same thing with houses. You know, people are buying houses. The rate was 3%. People were refinancing houses, you know, left and right. And so there weren't many houses because the housing market was booming. Money was plentiful. Now all of that has changed. And now there aren't as many. Now the houses, you want a house, you can find them. They're everywhere now. You know why? Because the interest rates, the home interest rates aren't 3% anymore. They're almost up to 6%. They've almost doubled. So for a home that was $400,000, and you took out a mortgage for that $400,000, normally that interest rate would have, the note on it might have been $1,200, $1,500. Now you add another $450 a month to it, and now it's up to $1,800 as opposed to the $1,200 or $1,300. That's happened in the last several months. And we haven't even gotten into the full pain because we haven't officially been announced to be in a recession, even though we know we are. And so when you know that's coming, you know, it's not, doesn't mean that there's going to be a shortage of food. Food will still be there. It's going to cost you more. You know, all the things that we want and need still be there, but there'll be less and less people who can afford to buy them because of the layoffs that are going to be coming. The economy is going to slow down to a crawl. And that is happening because the Federal Reserve is using its toolbox to cool down the economy so inflation can once again be brought under control. And we all want to see inflation brought under control. I don't think there's any of us who don't want to see that. But I don't know how many of us really understand the pain that we're going to feel in order to bring that inflation under control. Our phone lines are open, as always, at 844-967-2789. You know, people call me the bearer of bad tidings, you know, but I'm not that. I'm just telling you what's coming because I've seen it happen several times before in my life. And so that's what we're headed into now. And at the same time those things are happening, we've come into those situations before, but not at a time when we were going to be asked to sacrifice and suffer even more so we can spend more and more money in a war that we are not even supposed to be involved in. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be back.